From Cerevel Therapeutics, this is the Cerevel Drug Hunters Podcast. Now here is your host, Cerevel's Chief Scientific Officer, Dr. John Renger.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast on CNS Drug Hunters. My name is Dr. John Renger, and I'm the Chief Science Officer here at Cerevel Therapeutics. This podcast series is dedicated to exploring in detail the inner workings and the motivators for driving the commitment of brilliant and talented CNS drug hunters that have found a career path through Cerevel Therapeutics, with our laboratories and offices located here in Cambridge, Mass. This is a rare opportunity to get inside the minds of the people who are ultimately responsible for bringing important new medicines to individuals with debilitating diseases of the nervous system, such as epilepsy, Parkinson's, schizophrenia, and Alzheimer's disease. Join me now in speaking with some of the representatives of our Team M175 compound screening team. We've got David, Fern, and Jung Won. Welcome, everyone. It's great having you here today, and I'd love to begin by having you all maybe introduce yourselves, including your title and what you do at Cerevel, and then could you also share a little bit about the role that you each played on this program and in general in the search for new drugs for patients with neurodegenerative disease?
Thanks, John. Thrilled to be here, as always, talking to you on the Drug Hunters Podcast. I'm Dave Stone. I'm the Vice President of Genetics and Target Identification here at Cerevel. My role is to decide what new genes we're going to work on, what's going to go into the early front end of the pipeline here at Cerevel. That'll be the therapies that we're working on in the future. And my role in this is actually Team M175. I've been working on that gene for about 10 years now, believe it or not. So anyone who thinks that drug discovery is fast and easy, come on over. We'll have a little conversation. But after 10 years of working on this gene, we're at a stage now where I am working with what I believe is the best drug discovery team in neuroscience, if not all drug discovery, and allowing us to do something, actually screen this gene, which was, I actually believe, to be unscreenable about 5, 6, 7 years ago, something that people would have said was impossible because of the complexity of trying to screen an intracellular target, intracellular ion channel like this.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on your podcast. My name is Fern To. I'm a senior principal scientist in the in vitro pharmacology team and the biology lead for the Team M175 program, which is being explored as a potential first-in-class disease-modifying therapeutic for Parkinson's.
Thanks, John. My name is Jung Won Lim, director of medicine and chemistry in Cerevel. So I'm the chemistry co-lead for the Team M175 program. My role in Cerevel for the program spans from hit finding, hit to lead, lead optimization, PCC nomination, and beyond.
Great. Thanks, everyone, for joining us here today. Can you describe for me the specific goals that your team sets out to accomplish as it approaches a hurdle like screening Team M175 compounds? And then maybe describe for the audience and myself what makes it particularly challenging or compelling from a scientific perspective?
Yeah, you know, Team M175 is an exciting program, and we believe that we are the front runner in this program, in this area. However, you know, being the front runner also means that, you know, many of the key ROP assays are not ready and needs development. But that's one of the challenges, to develop those key assays that triage our compounds. Those key assays include the biophysical assays, functional assays, in vitro phenotypic assays, and in vivo assays. So I think the key is the collaboration with our external collaborators to develop these assays to advance the program.
If I can jump in, one of the things that's really amazing about this and why I say this is one of the best teams ever is, as John Wong had stated, and I really want to drive this home, none of this existed. None of these assays existed. Everything the team has built from the ground up. It's one thing to screen an ion channel at the plasma membrane at the surface of the cell, but when that is inside the cell on the lysosome, that technology literally did not exist. And here's a gene that is not readily expressed at the plasma membrane. Every piece of this has been built by this team, and I've been amazed by the abilities and the intelligence of the team here and the creativity to get around these problems and do something that literally no one had ever done before with nothing off the shelf. So it has been an amazing journey. We're just beginning, but a lot has been accomplished, but it really has been impressive what the team has accomplished.
Thanks a lot. That's really impressive stuff. So Considering your extensive background in electrophysiology, central nervous system, phys, how have you put together your team to really focus on the complexities of working up a program to discover new compounds and then actually work to design those to pursue important new medicines for those patients that are suffering with Parkinson's disease?
So one of the important things, John, about this has been putting a team together with the experts in all of the different areas. So Fern, who we're going to hear from and sitting next to me here, is truly an expert in high-throughput screening of ion channels and in syncopatch work. And again, I've been amazed at what she's done to actually build these assays along with Socom and the rest of the in vitro biology team. And then also having another critical piece is having the real experts in medicinal chemistry like John Wong. And I have been amazed by, as we go through the compounds, as we look at these things, the work he's able to do and the way he's able to see these compounds and just know immediately what he needs to do to get us to the next level, to change whatever it is, be it the solubility, whether or not it's going to cross the blood-brain barrier. And in all these pieces, we've got an amazing DMPK team, safety team. But it really is, if you're going to take on something this hard, you've got to have not just good people, you need excellence in all of these different areas. And I really do think we have that. And that's why I'm looking forward to speaking, having the conversation with these two in it, because I really do think with Fern and Zhang Wong, our biology and chemistry lead, you have two of the best people in the field to have tackled this problem.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dave. So clearly some amazing work that's been done here. And thank you for putting that in perspective for us. Again, it's a really amazing accomplishment that this team's achieved. And catalyst for this conversation was that this team has recently published the results of some of this recent work on the compounds that you guys have identified. And you've actually characterized the technique that has been applied here, an electrophysiological approach for identifying these compounds in a very novel and meaningful way. And so a lot of progress has been made. And I'd really be curious for maybe you, Fern, to share with us what the specific things are that you've been looking at that came out in this publication, what the results of your experiments have been, and how they're really impacting on how the team is proceeding with the important efforts that you're involved in and investing in making this new medicine for patients. So maybe give us a little bit of context on where we're at, what's really stood out from your expertise here, and what it's going to mean as far as us being able to actually create those new medicines that we really want to bring to patients.
Sure. Thanks, John. So I would describe this as a technology paper where we described and evaluated three different electrophysiology tools that we currently have now in our toolbox to support the identification of novel TMEM175 modulators. So the first one, I think this is my favorite, which is the SyncroPatch. So this is an automated high-throughput ion channel screening platform that allows us to patch up to 8 cells per well in the 384 well plate in parallel. So you can imagine the power of this technology and the throughput and how important this is during the early phases of drug discovery, where we want to be able to very quickly churn through large libraries of compounds to identify hits and novel chemical matter. But the downside of this technology is that it relies on the artificial overexpression of TMEM175 on the plasma membrane. And as we all know, TMEM175 is a lysosomal ion channel. So on the other end of that spectrum, we have the manual lysosomal patch clamp. So this is where individual lysosomes are isolated out of the cells and then subsequently patched. So what you have here is really a gold standard assay that is really as close to the native state as you can get. You are looking at endogenous TMEM175 in the lysosomes. However, the downside or one of the biggest disadvantage of this method is that you can imagine it's very laborious, it takes a lot of time, and it's also cost prohibitive. So it's not really suited for routine compound testing, but really more for late stage drug discovery efforts. So the other technology that's kind of intermediate of these two is the SURFER2 platform. So this is a solid-supported membrane-based EFIS assay. So this comes in the one well and 96-well format. So this assay combines a little bit of both the SyncroPatch and the manual patch clamp, where you're able to look at lysosomal membranes. So you're looking at TMEM175 in a native membrane where you have the lipid composition from the lysosomes. And this relies on these thin layer of gold-coated electrode on each well. And what you're looking at here is the absorbance of these lysosomes vesicles that contain your target of interest. And you're measuring the activation by applying a quick solution exchange. So there is a liquid handling component to this as well. So I really believe that, you know, all these technologies do complement each other. And when taken together, it really provides a more comprehensive understanding of what our compounds are doing to TMEM-175.
Excellent. Coming from that background of being an electrophysiologist and thinking about the advancements that have been made in this area are just incredible. And so, you know, kudos on not actually getting one technique to work, but all three. A quote from my past that I've always considered highly relevant in my career has been, the hardest thing about science is not the science, it's about the people. And so as hard as those techniques are that you've just talked about, you know, you've had a lot of balls in the air, not just from a technical expertise and figuring out the really difficult and complex science, but you've also had to manage multiple teams on the external, right? And so this is really leading people to a vision of what can be done, not just people that you work with every day, but people that are actually external to our company. And so can you tell me a little bit about what you've learned in terms of leadership? And can you tell me a little bit about what your challenges and what were the things that you brought away from this experience that are going to help you be a better scientist in the future, do you think?
Yeah, I think I can take that question. So as I mentioned earlier, we worked with a lot of external collaborators for the assay development. You know, as a CeraVel, a small company, we cannot develop all the assays for ourselves. So one thing I learned from the experience collaborating with other companies is to trust each other. So we trust, you know, other collaborators in the assay development, you know, which is crucial for our SAL effort. On the other hand, you know, from the collaborator's perspective, to develop a brand new assay, they need two compounds. So, you know, we are really happy to provide our own TMEM-175 activators to help them develop the, you know, those novel assays at NanION. And yeah, again, you know, I think the key is to, you know, rely on each other, you know, trust each other, and advance the program together to eventually help the patients.
That's great points. Can you each maybe give me an idea of what was the most exciting aspect of the publication from your own perspectives? And then as you see this program moving forward towards the clinical development phase, what do you think this can really mean for the patient in terms of what you think that these drugs might offer in terms of a therapeutic benefit? And so really unique target, unique location. It is an ion channel. Can you tell people that might be out there that have family members or spouses or friends, you know, what is this that excites you about this, and what is it that you really think this can mean at the end of the day if it does what we think it might be able to do?
Well, the most exciting thing, just from the straight-up screening scientific perspective, has been to actually get the compounds. And these are compounds that I want to be real clear about. You know, Fern was critical in discovering, and Zhang Wang was critical in perfecting these, okay? We're still not exactly where we want to be, but these are compounds that were made by the folks in this room. And what was interesting is we had the genetics, and it suggested very strongly that this channel, when it's not functioning properly, is tied to the risk of the disease and also the progression of the disease. And we had assumed and we believed, due to various experiments, is this had to do with ion flow through the channel. But that was not proven. We had the genetics. We knew there was a connection. And we had hypothesized. We had thought, this is ion flow. This is the potassium possibly, or more likely the hydrogen ion, the proton flow through the channel. And that is a neat idea. But until you make a compound, and it is something to make the compound over the course of years, and I just got data back today on one of the lead series from these two brilliant scientists I'm sitting here with, from Stefka, my head of the lab, and showing me that these, you know, when it's increasing the activity of this channel, it's increasing the activity of the lysosome. What is the lysosome? And this is for the folks out there, if you're thinking, if you have someone, a family member, et cetera, with the disease, when I explain what the lysosome is to people, I think it's kind of like, imagine the garbage disposal, you know, in the cell, chewing things up that the cell doesn't need. And we believe some things like, you know, there are some pathologic proteins, specifically alpha-synuclein in Parkinson's disease. And is there a way to not just turn on, but kind of turn up the garbage disposal, kind of take that garbage, the thing that is in the cell that is toxic, grind it up, get it the heck out of there? And I think we all agree that we want to do that. And that, you know, it's a great idea for a drug. But then to hypothesize, I think if we this channel could be the switch. But not just overexpressing it, because it could be doing a lot of things, saying specifically, pharmacologically, that's the kind of thing you can do in a human making a drug. Let's turn this up a notch or two. Let's turn it up, and I get the data back today showing a twofold increase in the activity in the lysosome clearing protein. And it is from a scientific perspective, like, oh my God, you know, maybe we were right about what this channel does, and maybe we can use this. And if we can do that safely in a patient, that's the goal. Make these compounds safe and put these into a patient, and in the patients, turn up that garbage disposal, turn up the ability to clear the toxic protein and keep those neurons alive and slow the disease down. There's an exciting piece, again, just from science, and that's fun, but then there's the exciting piece on what this could possibly mean for the people who suffer from this disease, have a family member with this disease, or a caretaker. And that's 10 times more exciting than the science, but I gotta say I enjoy both. But Fern, what do you think?
So I think, like, in terms of everything that we have learned, the knowledge that we have gained so far from these different technologies, what I'm most excited about is really trying to see if we can harness the pros and the advantages of these different approaches and combine all of that into one assay where we are really pushing the limit of the technology, coming up with a way that we can increase the throughput so that we can support routine compound testing in an environment that is that better mimics the native kind of state. So I think that is something that we are working really closely with our collaborators on. I'm very excited to say we have seen some really promising data, but, you know, it's still really in the early stages. But I'm really excited about that. So that really is a confluence of all of these different, you know, assays that we have developed. So really trying to, like, push the envelope there for these different methodologies. Oh, Jungwoon, do you have anything else to add?
Sure. So as Dave mentioned, we have strong genetic evidence of TMEM175 for the PD patients. And we do have very strong direct evidence that our TMEM175 activators directly bind to the protein and activate ion channel activity. So we truly believe in this target, and then hopefully we advance this program in the future and then deliver the drugs for the patients.
That's really a great way to end today, and I just want to thank you guys so much for sharing your perspective. I also really want to congratulate you all on what I thought was an amazing set of really advanced experiments that have really opened the door now for us to create a new way for us to go after new targets in the lysosome, as well as the field. So I think you guys actually have changed science. So congratulations on that. I'm really excited about what you guys have discovered and described in this publication. And a little jealous I couldn't be in the lab with you guys, but you got my support all the time. So thank you very much for that. And really looking forward to see where this leads us in terms of getting that important new medicine that we're all trying to discover. So with that, thanks everyone for listening into today's podcast on CNS Drug Hunters. Podcast series dedicated to give everyone a rare opportunity to get inside the minds of the people who are ultimately responsible for bringing these exciting and important new medicines to individuals with debilitating diseases of the nervous system. With that, be well, everyone. I look forward to being with you next time. Now let's go find some important drugs. Take care.